Ahead and get started. Let's honor God with prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this day. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that you have wakened us up, that you've given us strength and breath in our body and health and wisdom and understanding, Father, and that we can gather together freely in the church of God, this place, this temple of God, with the people of God, our family. Lord, we thank you for that. So many things that we take for granted, but Lord, let us not forget this each and every day. Lord, we pray that your presence not only be here with us, but Lord, take us to your presence. Let us bathe in your sunshine today. Let us bathe in your grace and your mercy and your love, Father. Let your presence be our dwelling place today, Father. Let the people that come through the door feel and see the love of God. The thing that the world cannot give them, but you have offered to them. Lord, help us to be the lights in the city set on the hill, that they would see you in us. Let the chains be broken. Let the strongholds be torn down. As the word of God, the truth comes forth from this pulpit. Each and every aspect of this service, let it be to glory and edify you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, that this vessel that I surrender to you, that my words be your words, my thoughts be your thought. Nothing come forth of me, Lord, but only of you. Let the word of God grace and grow and take root in the hearts of the people that hear it, and it grow and bring forth fruit, a harvest, Lord. You say it won't come back to you void. We claim that in the name of Jesus. Let us stand in this day, in this time, and be the army of God that we are called to be. Enemy of ours, I give you notice, you have no place in this building with these people. In the name of Jesus, you must flee. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Today, if you want to give a title to my sermon, we're going to talk about grace or grave. Grace or grave. I was writing the sermon last week, and I misspelled. I meant to write grace. And I changed one letter, and it was grave. And the Holy Spirit clicked on me right then. And I was like, ooh, there's something to that. We're going to study that this week. We're going to find out what that means. So this is where God has got me. So there's one letter difference in grace and grave, and the letter is C. And C is always Christ Jesus. He's in the middle of that grace. I heard one person I studied, I listen to Derek Prince a lot. He called grace God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And I thought that was pretty awesome. Derek Prince gave the definition of grace, free, unmerited, that means you can't earn it, favor of God to the undeserving and the ill-deserving. That was his definition. I thought that was pretty awesome. He said, grace, of course, we know cannot be earned. He said, it is the way God looks at us. In the Hebrew word used for grace in the Bible, it means beautiful. Beautiful. In the Greek, there are two words used in the Greek translation. The New Testament means beautiful and pleasure. Those are the way that God looks at you. You are beautiful, and you bring him great pleasure. And once we learn the grace of God, his favor, it is very difficult for the enemy to slip in and steal from you what rightly is yours. He can't take away God's grace, but he can make you think that you don't deserve it. That is his tool. It's not changed from the beginning. That's one of his trades. You're not loved, you're not anointed, you're not called, you're not saved. He's always batting at who you are because he knows and sees the favor of God on your life, child of God. And that is awesome. And we have that through Jesus Christ. Now, Numbers 6 and 25, I just want to read that. I've read it before the service started, but this is the way God sees us. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. That means he has turned toward you. He is seeing you. He is shining upon you. Numbers 6 and 25. and be gracious unto you. There's that word grace, gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That means he sees you. He's shining upon you, and he give thee peace. In grace there is peace. When you don't have peace, the enemy has taken something away from you that the grace of God has given you. Grace has many functions in our life. A lot of times we think about it only as blessing monetarily or whatever it is, but grace has afforded several things to us, and I'm going to talk about a few. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Do you remember that? Genesis 6, 8, and 13. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What his destiny was a lot different than everybody else at that time, wasn't it? Because Noah found grace in the eyes. He was the only righteous man upon the earth. God says, I'm going to destroy the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the earth. Noah got a word from God. He says, I need you to build a boat, an ark, and let me show you how you're going to, let me teach you how to do this. They had never seen this, but probably may not have seen rain, I'm not for sure, but he'd never seen a boat, definitely not one that size, you know, a boat like that. So God starts laying out the plan for him because he found grace. God had grace for Noah, and he has that same grace for you, child of God. Salvation. Ephesians 2, I read some of this last week, and everything I heard this week confirmed that we were supposed to talk about grace in the service today. So I'm going to just give you what I have studied and learned and what God has given me. Now, I want you to know, when I talk about the grave in this particular sermon, it means self-will. It means death. You know, all sin leads to death, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But so many times, we have a choice to choose grace, and we choose the grave. We choose our own will. We choose what leads to death. So today I want to expose this to you so that when the enemy comes and when opportunity presents itself, that you know to choose God's grace. So it says in Ephesians 2, and I'm going to read in the ESV version, and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no man may boast. For you have been saved by grace. You've been saved by faith. Now, this is why the shield of faith is so important in your armor. If you don't have faith, the shield is gone. And that shield is there because of the grace of God. If you don't believe that he has everything good for you and that it's all going to work out when the enemy comes, you drop that shield and those fiery darts, as the word has been taught, have access to you. Have access. This is by faith. By faith, if you believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We've got to believe. And when you pray the sinner's prayer, as we kind of call it sometimes, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's scripture. Faith. Faith is so important. So important. But you are saved by faith through the grace, through God's grace. Let's go on. It says, God, it's not by law, but by grace we're saved. So let's look at some grace. God's grace justifies. It justifies. Let's look at Romans 3. And then we'll skip down to 24 and 26 through 26. And verse 21, it starts talking about the righteousness of God through faith. It says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. But look at that. It was redemption. It was through, we were justified by his grace. By his grace, by his favor, by his unmerited favor. He loved us despite who we were. And allowed Christ to come and suffer and take the consequences of our sin so that we could be righteous in right standing with God and be called sons and daughters. Titus 3 and 7. Titus, Paul wrote this to Titus. He was a young minister that was in charge of a church, and he was teaching him how to teach the old men, the young men. I mean, there's examples, the slaves, the wives. He's talking to them about everything. But in Titus 3 and 7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope justified us. His favor, his love, his grace. Grace is also a shield. Go to Psalms 5 and 12. How many of y'all heard grace talked about in this terms? I know I haven't. Not that I can ever remember. Grace is so much more than just, you know, fix my problems, Lord. It is so much more. It is so much deeper. Psalms 5 and 12. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield. There's that favor of God. There's that grace of God. You have favor with God. And again, it says this is a shield when you drop that shield. When you allow the enemy to take that idea that you have favor and make it something less, then you have dropped a shield that protects you. That keeps you. Because if you think about yourself and you think that you can't, and you listen to the enemy's negative thoughts and accusing ways, he's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, then you don't operate in your grace that God has afforded you through Jesus Christ. You allow, and you're trying to operate within yourself, in your own self. You look upon your own self. Titus 2 and 11, grace teaches us godliness. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Grace teaches us to be godly, how to live godly lives. It's easy because, you know, he's my daddy. And I usually want to do what I see my daddy do as I grow and mature in that truth. Have you seen your children pick up your bad habits? Oh, yeah, cussing was usually the first thing my children picked up that I didn't want them to have. Because there was a word that I would hit my brakes and say, and then I heard that little recorder in the back say it back to me. But it works that they should pick up my good habits, too. And he did. He's got a big old heart like his mommy and daddy. He loves people. He loves to be around people. Don't matter where they're from, what they're, you know, he loves to help and be a help to people. But like my spiritual father, God, I see all this grace in him, and I just want to go out and do what he's done. I want to see the people come to him and be made whole and be right and be able to live in their right minds and to have normal lives and have the blessings that Jesus Christ died for them to have. It teaches me to be godly. It teaches me. God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is a well-known verse. We talk about it. The enemy wants you to know that, hey, you can't do this. You can't operate this way. You can't get up there and talk to people. You can't get up there and sing. You can't give. You can't do this. He's all about the lies. He's the father of lies, according to the Jesus. But in verse 9, it says, but he said to me, now this is Paul writing about the hindrance that he had, the thorn in the flesh, he called it. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. One thing that we start doing is we hinder God because we continue to do it in our own selves. We try to fix everything in our own selves. And I'm type A. That's what I want to do. I want to fix everybody. I want to fix everything. I want it to be good for you. And sometimes that is a little overbearing to other people. But in the spiritual realm, it takes God's hands off of it. You just stopped his grace and his power and his strength for enabling you to do what he's called you to do. He says, you know, go do this, Sonia. Well, I go do it in myself and work it out in my own self. And then I realize real quick that I don't have what it takes to do what he's called me to do. It's bigger than I am. But it's not bigger than God. Never bigger than God. Derek Prince said, God's will never take you anywhere where God's grace cannot keep you. Cannot keep you. God's will never take you anywhere. And if we start looking at our situations and listening when God calls us into places, we call them deeper water sometimes, into the unknown, whatever you want to call it. If we realize that, hey, look, my weakness is okay. I'm not supposed to be ashamed of it. The enemy wants you to think there's something wrong with you. I'm standing here to tell you, it's okay. Take your hands off of it. Let God strengthen you to go forward in his strength, in his power, in his might, in his grace. His grace covers. His favor allows me to do what I cannot do on my own, but I can do through, what is it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I've got to learn that it's okay for me to be weak and let God strengthen me. That's another lie of the devil. We have the ability to go through, endure, be more than overcomers by faith and grace of our Lord Jesus. We have that ability. I want you to go to Numbers 13. And this is when God first started speaking to me about this, I said, Lord, this is a little overwhelming because I first saw my shortcoming right away. This is a lot. Grace is so much, and I can only touch the surface and explain things to you, but let me show you an example of choosing grace, God's favor, what he's called us to do, and choosing the grave. And the good example is the children of Israel in the wilderness, Numbers 13. I'm not going to read the whole story because time will not permit it. I just want to make my point out of these two chapters. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. Right there. He says, it's yours. It's your land. I'm giving it to you. I am handing it over on a platter. It's yours. Go spy it out. Go check it out. See what you see. See what the grace of God has afforded you. Now, they have been through so much. The Egyptian leaving Egypt, all the plagues, all that was there, and watching God move, and the Pharaoh saying, get out of Egypt. Get out. And then he changes his mind and pursues them. And there they are. They're out in the middle of nowhere against a rock and a river. And the army is coming up on them. But you know, God never left them. He was always the cloud by day and the fire by night, right? And at that point, he actually went between, dropped down between the Israelite camp and the Egyptian camp, were that they couldn't see them that close. He protected them at all times. And then he opens up the Red Sea, and they walk over on dry land. That's just one thing I can think of. Oh, that's the grace of God. That's favor on your life. Deuteronomy 28, I won't have time to read it, but he talks about if you keep my statutes, you'll be blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed everywhere. Blessed, 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 blessed. Read the blessings. Read the blessings, because the enemy wants to take those from you. We don't operate in the power that we should because we allow the enemy to do it. Let's go back to Numbers 13. So the spies go. They're 12. They spend 40 days there, and they come back. Verse 28. Let's see what they had to say. Let's start at 27. And they told him, now they're speaking to Moses and Aaron and the congregation, we came to the land to which you sent us. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Moses sent them. No, actually God sent them. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. They brought back the fruit of the land. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants at Anak there, the Amorites dwelling in the land of Nebeg, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the city hills. So there's nowhere you can go. You can't find these guys, these ites, you know. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. That man had the grace of God and the faith of the God that he had seen brought them out of Egypt and all through the wilderness, all through their shenanigans, and still loved them enough to give them a land that was so great. And he'd seen with his own eyes. And it says, then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Isn't that what the devil tells you? He shows you. He's a great bully. He makes you think that he's something big. And as Pastor taught us, you don't give him the permission. You have the power. Don't give him permission. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they have spied out, saying, the land, though, through which we have gone to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great heights. And there was the son of the Amorites, and he goes on and says, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. That's another trick of the devil, doesn't he? He wants you to make you feel so small. Compare yourself to sister so-and-so. Compare yourself to brother so-and-so. Do you remember what you said over lunch today? Small, 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 grasshopper, grasshopper, grasshopper. I serve a big God who is merciful and grace, full of grace for me. The Bible says that I can go boldly before the throne room of grace. It's not judgment. It is grace. It is grace. Grace for me as a child of God. Yes, do I have consequences to pay for my sin? Yeah, I do if I mess up, but I get it under the blood real quick. I step into that throne room of grace, and I talk to my daddy who loved me so much that he sent his one and only to die for me and die terribly for me. How much grace do you have for your own children? Have you ever thought about that? I love my babies. I'd kill my husband over one of them. And I told him that one day. And he believes it, even today. Because he's seen some of my craziness. But anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about that. You know, God's an all-consuming fire. And that's great for you because, yeah, it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. But you're going to come out looking like gold. But for my enemy, oh, my God, that fire's going to burn you up. And ain't going to be nothing left. Nothing left. But anyways, let's go on. Next chapter, 14. The people rebel. Here's the first sentence. Then all the congregation raised a loud voice, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us up into the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be prey. Would it not be better if we go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. How many times did you get run back to Egypt? How many times did he bully you and trick you right out of the grace of God and you run right back into whatever mess you just came out of? He just got you out of. He done parted the waters and been with you day and night, and here you are going back to the familiar. Let's choose a leader and go back. No faith. They had all the grace of God upon their lives, but they let it slip because they had no faith in what God said. Isn't that interesting? So the Lord gets upset. He decides he's going to take them off this earth. And Moses intercedes for them. He says, if you do that, Lord, then the people in Egypt are going to think that you weren't able to bring them all the way. You didn't have the power to bring them to where you'd sent them to. And I tell you what, a lot of us live in that part of our lives because of his name's sake. He takes care of business for us. And we don't even see it sometimes. Sometimes, hindsight, you do see it. My silliness, Lord, thank you that you kept me through this. Even when I couldn't get myself together, the grace of God still abounds on my life. Isn't that wonderful? God, how can the enemy come in and tell you that you're anything less than what you are? Because he loves you so much. Even for his name's sake, he will make things happen for you. But let's go on down. Let's see what happened. Let's go on down to verse 22. God makes a promise. He says, the Lord says, I have paroled according to your word. Pardon according to your word. It is parole. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, so shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of these who despise me shall see it. He just passed judgment. And he says, if you go down to verse 28, he says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing. This is why your words are so important. I will do to you. Your bodies, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your numbers listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, whom have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lie in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days a year for each day. And if you go on down, verse 17, it says, the men who brought up a bad report of the Lord died by plague before the Lord. Do you choose grace? Do you choose grace? Or do you choose the grave? You're going to do it God's way? Let him empower you. Let him shower you with love and strength and understanding and wisdom. Are you going to choose to stand in your own self-will and die in the wilderness? God's calling us to great things in this day and age. The Holy Spirit is moving. Things are changing in this. I know it looks bad, but that's because the reports you listen to are all bad. But if you pay attention to what God is doing in the atmosphere, things are changing. Things are changing. His Spirit is being poured out. It started in the colleges. It's going to spill out everywhere. You're not going to be able to walk out the street and sit in a restaurant without hearing the Jesus, the Word of God somewhere, and His Holy Spirit moving. I truly believe that. But you have a choice. Are you going to choose His grace? Are you going to choose the grave? The choice is yours. Father, we give You praise, glory, and honor. We thank You for letting us know that Your grace is so much more. And that it keeps us and it trains us and it justifies us. And it is Your blessing, Your face turned and shine upon us, Lord. And we thank You, Father, that we're never far from that light of Your face. Thank You that it shines for us even when we don't understand it. Thank You that You strengthen and empower us with Your grace. For when I am weak, it's okay. I can walk out in Your strength and Your wisdom and Your guidance and Your direction. And I can just keep holding on to that faith that all things work to my good and walking in Your will for my life, because Your will never take me to a place where Your grace cannot keep me. Thank You, Lord, for the words of those that have gone before us that we can listen to and draw wisdom from. Not just the Word of God, but men and women of God who paid the price and slaved the way and brought Your Word out. And that we can still hear it today because it's eternal. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a choice, and help us to see that choice when it's presented above us. But most of all, help us to stand still in our own self and to walk forward in Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.